This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff to give elite wrestlers a real shot at professional career. Real American Freestyle is where Olympians, world champions, and NCAA legends come to compete. Not in a cage, not in a script, but on the mat in front of fans around the world. This is real wrestling, reimagined for today. The first event kicks off August 30th in Cleveland, featuring matchups with some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You've never seen wrestling like this. Learn more at realamericanfreestyle.com. And the right thing would be to talk about Dick Cheney in the middle of Fox and Friends. Actually, in the first hour, we hear he passed away at the age of 84. At 37, he had his first heart attack. He's had five of them his entire life, got a heart transplant. He's always been battling it. It didn't seem to slow him down. But the career he had, to put in perspective, huge impact on America.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. First of all, he's got a very interesting background. Born in, I think, Lincoln, Nebraska. Grew up in Casper, Wyoming. Modest upbringing. Dad was a federal bureaucrat with the Conservation Service of the Ag Department. Gets a full ride to Yale because he's so bright. And then gets kicked out not once but twice for spending too much time imbibing.
And drinking.
And goes back to Casper, goes to work as a lineman for the telephone company, which, you know, even on a pleasant day in Wyoming, is not an easy job.
Yeah.
And marries his high school sweetheart and goes to the University of Wisconsin because he's incredibly bright, incredibly smart, becomes a congressional fellow, which is a very highly sought after opportunity, goes to work for a congressman from Wisconsin named Bill Steiger, and never goes back, never graduated from college. Did you know that?
No.
Never graduated from
BA?
College. No, never got his BA. And goes to work for Bill Steiger. Bill Steiger's a bright force in the Republican Party at that time in the House. And he has a great friend who's another bright young face, congressman from the North Shore of Chicago, Don Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld goes into the next administration, brings along Dick Cheney, who's I think maybe 30 at the time, works in the Nixon administration. Nixon leaves. Rummy is close to Gerald Ford, goes into the White House, and at the age of 34, Dick Cheney becomes the youngest White House chief of staff in history. White House chief of staff. He then, Carter defeats Ford, he goes back to Wyoming, gets elected to the U.S. House from Wyoming, one congressional seat from the state, gets elected, and is made a member of the Republican House leadership in his first term. His first term. He is that bright, that able, serves for 10 years, becomes the Republican leader in the House, then is brought into the Bush 41's administration as Secretary of Defense, presides over the first Gulf War. After the defeat in 92, goes to work in the private sector, running the world's largest oil field service company, Halliburton, and it's from there that he becomes George W. Bush's vice president. This man spent his life in service to his country, and I knew him well. We became close friends, and he was an astonishing person to be around and to work with. So smart, so able, knew what his role was, knew that he was there in order to give the president his candid advice with the bark off. And so much has been missaid about him. One of the nicest people on the face of the planet and a really good colleague and friend.
The way I understand it, and he said this, and my personal belief is this is true. The criticism didn't bother him. The Darth Vader side comment.
He made fun of it. He loved that. I mean, I wouldn't say he loved it, but he made light of it.
Was it tough balancing the fact that this young Republican governor from Texas, without any known foreign policy experience, hires a lot of experienced people like Colin Powell and Donald Rumsfeld, the second time he's Secretary of Defense, and then Dick Cheney? How did you, as an advisor to the president, make sure that Dick Cheney, the perception wasn't that Dick Cheney's running the White House?
Well, look, that was that the press was going to run with that. They simply
you knew it.
We knew it. In fact, it's in 2000, Bush is thinking about who his running mate ought to be, and we were looking at nine people, and we had these big thick notebooks. The guy in charge of the process was Dick Cheney, assisted by his brilliant young lawyer daughter, Liz Cheney, and they compiled these thousands of pages of material and boiled it down to nine big thick notebooks. And the more Bush went through this process, the more he liked the cast of Cheney's mind and became convinced Cheney ought to be his running mate. And I was against the idea, and he knew it. So Bush is out on the campaign trail. He calls me up. He says, I'm going to be back tonight late, as you know. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I want you to come to the governor's mansion, and I want you to make the case why I should not go with Dick Cheney. I want to know why you don't want me to go with Cheney, so come prepared. 10 o'clock the next morning, I show up at the governor's mansion, sitting in the Austin Library, named after Stephen F. Austin. It's about half the size of this. It's not much. It's smaller than this room that we're in here today, your studio. And I'm sitting on one side of the room. Bush is on the other. He says, okay, why should I go with Cheney? I have a list, 8 reasons. I still have the piece of paper. Number 1, don't worry about Wyoming. Number 2, the guy had his first heart attack at 37, been working on perfecting it ever since, had 4 more. You know, number 3, a very conservative congressman 18 years ago from a very conservative state and cast some really stupid votes, like being one of 3 members of the House of Representatives to vote against the resolution calling on the South African apartheid regime to release Nelson Mandela from the island prison where he didn't have health care and move him to the mainland prison where he would get a doctor. And Cheney's one of 3 who votes no. You know, we've worked really hard to develop an image of you as your own guy, not mini-me to your dad. Okay, great. Let's pick the guy who's the Secretary of Defense for your dad in a time of war. Everybody's going to be saying he's running the West Wing. People are worried about you being an oilman. What the hell? Let's get the guy who runs the world's largest oil field service equipment. That issue is going to go away in the Midwest and the Mid-Atlantic. And anyway, Bush, as you know, President Bush is not a monologue guy. So this is like World Wrestling Federation. I mean, we're going at it.
Right. And he wants you to come that hard, right?
Yeah, he wanted to. That's the way he operated. And I literally, at the end of the conversation, after 30, 35 minutes, I realized I couldn't unbutton my coat because I had sweat through my shirt. It was so high intense. And final reason was the 12th Amendment, blah, blah, blah. So Bush says, got anything else? I said, no, that's it, sir. He said, good, really, really good. Turns to the guy sitting next to him and says, Dick, got any questions for Carl? Cheney had been sitting there while I kicked his ass around for half an hour.
Wow.
And as we walked out, Cheney said, I agree with some of what you had to say. and we became he never held it against me. We became close. You know,
did he want it?
He wanted to do what the president wanted to do. No, he didn't really want to do it. But the president said, I need you. I want somebody as my assistant, you know, as my deputy, as my vice president, who's going to walk into the Oval Office and give me their considered opinion, and I'll make the call, and you'll accept it. And, you know, that Bush knew from having seen the Reagan White House and his father's White House how powerful that office is and how easy it is for a president to get isolated, and he wanted somebody who would Right. give it to him straight each and every time. And he gave Cheney some specific responsibilities. I served on a committee that was not public, where we vetted and kept a running list of prospective Supreme Court nominees. And Cheney and I think, were the only 2 people who weren't lawyers. And now that I realize that, we were also the only 2 members of the committee who never graduated from college. But, you know, and we became friends. We went hunting almost every year after about 2003 or 4, and hunting together. And he loved to fish. He loved to bird hunt, and he was a really kind person. And
unbelievably
smart. And the kind of person who would read something and immediately grasp the important elements of it and have the best questions. I mean, that was one of the great things about him is that he didn't know it all, but he wanted to know as much as he could.
Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are 4-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian. Every day, America's first responders stand ready. Firefighters, law enforcement, paramedics, doctors, dispatchers, and people who put themselves on the line for public safety. But keeping them connected in moments of crisis has not been easy. That's why Congress authorized a nationwide network for public safety. Today, that promise is fulfilled through FirstNet. It's the only nationwide network built with and for first responders. So whether it's a big city, rural town, or remote tribal community, FirstNet helps ensure no call for help goes unanswered. It gives first responders priority access, never throttles their communications in the U.S., helping them to connect across agencies when it matters most. This isn't just a network. It's a lifeline, a bipartisan commitment to America's public safety, built to serve those who serve us all. FirstNet is the backbone of our nation's emergency response and will continue to be in the future. FirstNet, built with AT&T. Learn more on firstnet.com/public safety first.
So I want you to hear Dick Cheney in 2018 talking about the criticism that he was that he got from 41, cut nine.
First of all, I was more, I guess, of an iron ass when I was vice president. The thing that had intervened between my time at defense for 41 and my time as vice president was 9/11. We'd had 3,000 of our people killed on 9/11, more people than we lost at Pearl Harbor. And we moved, I think, legitimately into a wartime setting rather than simple law enforcement. I think it was important to do that. Now, after he made those comments, he sent me a note. One of the notes are great to have. This one said, "Dear Dick, I did it." And then he went on at great length to tell me what a great American I was. But he also, that year, we went to the annual Alfalfa Club. He enjoyed those dinners. And he invited me to sit at the head table with him at the dinner, and that sort of dampened down any notion that there was a fundamental break between Bush and Cheney.
Because you want to give some context to that, that I guess 41 had called him an iron ass.
Yeah,
an
iron
ass. So he's changed a lot since he was my Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, both men were right. He had become more. He had been. I don't want to use the word radicalized, but his attitude had changed, as it did for a lot of people after 9/11. We had the first attack on the World Trade Center, and we turned it over to the Southern District in New York and the FBI, and blindly went forward. And the realization by the commander in chief and the vice president after 9/11 was that we had to fight them over there, so we didn't have to fight them over here again.
It's Will Tang Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.